It's easy if we don't watch ourselves to get that way. We have no idea how blessed we have been in this nation. We have no idea how many people would so love to have just a small portion of the freedoms that we've experienced here. And we take them for granted. I'm afraid taking things for granted is going to run out one of these days, and it already is. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Psalms chapter number 9. I want to preach tonight upon the thought of what can we do for our nation. I want to emphasize verse number 17, but I want to go ahead and read the 20 verses there, if you will bear with me, in chapter 9 of Psalms. Different people interpret this different ways of what David was writing about. I know John Phillips interprets it as being Israel facing the Antichrist and the enemy there and God's protection of Israel during that time. And he combines that in chapter 10 in that thought process. Other people think different other things, but I want to apply it to our nation that we have to face from this point forward. If you begin reading with me in verse number 9, chapter 9, verse 1, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. When mine enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. For thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou sattest in the throne judging right. Thou hast rebuked the heathen. Thou hast destroyed the wicked. Thou hast put out their name forever and ever. O thou enemy, destructions are come to a perpetual end, and thou hast destroyed cities. Their memorial is perished with them. But the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment. He shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. The Lord will also be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Sing praises to the Lord which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doings. When he maketh inquisition for blood, he remembereth them. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, and consider my trouble, which I suffer of them that hate me. Thou that liftest me up from the gates of death, that I may show forth all thy praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion, I will rejoice in thy salvation. The heathen are sunk down into the pit, that they made in the net which they hid is their own foot taken. The Lord is known by the judgment which he executeth. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. Higgaion, Salah. The wicked shall be turned into hell in all nations that forget God. For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. Let the heathen be judged in thy sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. Salah. I want to preach upon the thought of the danger of our nation being turned into hell. What can we do? The elections are over with. What lies ahead? Tonight I want to show you some things that should lie ahead and we should prepare for. Some people will not like this, I'm sure. And I'm sure probably as we go on, we will probably face, if things doesn't change, we will face censor within the church. But I want you to look and I want you to think about the changes that we've seen in this great country. I love America. I love the history of America. Man, when you read the history of America, there's no doubt leaders of our country believed in God, the sovereignty of God. And they also believed in the Word of God, and they also believed in Christ. They believed that they were building a Christian nation upon the Christian religion. We have seen a republic that they began turn into democracy and from a capitalistic nation into socialism. And we've seen it headed that way, and it's headed that way rather fast. We've seen the wisdom of our forefathers when they established. Someone once said that 92% of our Constitution was either directly or indirectly from the Word of God. That's why it's withstood all the challenges throughout these years. However, we have seen in this last administration, we have never seen a hatred for administration like we've seen this last one. And the reason is this. There are things that President Trump has done and said that I did not approve of and like at all. There are some people he associated himself with that I did not want him to do. And for all those haters out there, I want them to understand that I did not approve of running into the Capitol and doing some things that was done there the other day. Just saying. But what I want you to understand is this. The reason why he's hated so much is he has exposed some things. Our forefathers had the wisdom to put checks and balances in our republic. Therefore, if someone went rogue, there would be some of those checks and balances that would reel them in. But the saddest part of the last 4 years has revealed the checks and balances that has gone and been exposed to be destroyed, many of them. For instance, the freedom of press. No longer do we have news. No longer can we trust what we hear. We have propaganda and we have partisan issues being pushed upon us. We have found them to be lies. And by the way, Fox News is not exempt. Many things that they have said have been found as well. We have found them to be fake in the news. We have watched them cover things up. We have watched them omit things for months and months and months when they knew the truth. We have seen them try to destroy the president and his family, even when they knew that it was all built upon a lie. Therefore, we have seen the freedom of the press, something that was put in place to try to hold our elected officials accountable. We have seen them sell themselves out where you can no longer trust in them. We've seen social media come, something that our fathers and grandfathers never would recognize the effect of social media. But they have determined that freedom of speech is no longer freedoms, but they are to censor whatever we say, and they're to decide what we hear and what we don't hear. Leaders of our cities have fulfilled Isaiah 5, 20 and 21. They call evil good and good evil. In some of these Democratic-run cities, in some of these liberal cities, we have watched. We have watched the same mayor of Washington, D.C., the same police chief of Washington, D.C., sit there and fold their hands and watch people run in and loot and damage the businesses throughout the city and destroy things and burn things. And they sit there and they say they're just fretting their frustrations. And they sit there and the police standing right there watching them run out with their arms full of merchandise from people's stores, destroyed. And we found the media standing there and saying, peaceful protest. Well, there's a few fires and places burning behind them and everything destroyed. Then we saw the other day, even though some of them went into the Capitol and so forth, we saw many of them just peaceful. I knew some people there, and they said we had no intent on doing anything but peacefully protesting. That's all we did. But yet to hear them tell, the whole group was just, man, they just come down on them. Now they're going to try to impeach the president again. My point is, you can't trust even the people. The Bible says that God ordained leaders to protect us from evil. But when our leaders begin to call evil good and good evil, they become a danger to those who believe in truth and righteousness. We also found that we could not trust our states, the governors. We could not trust our Congress. Many of them has exemplified and has been exposed as people that hates the history of this country and hates what this country was founded upon. We have also found them where they hate righteousness and been exposed as such. We found them to be hypocritical in everything they say and do. Many of them. We found that they want to follow the sway of Hollywood, the media, special interest, bought and sold. One thing I liked about the president is he didn't come in selling himself to every special interest going along. And therefore, when he stood, he didn't owe nobody when he got into office. I liked that about him. Not only that, but also our election process. Checks and balances is that when we vote, our vote would count. But I tell you what, I'm insulted when people says, well, I know there's videos of people sitting there and election workers filling out ballots one after another. And some taking ballots and running them through over and over again. Some pulling suitcases out. And this is all on video. And they do that, and then they find dead people that's voted, they find illegals that's voted, they find people that doesn't even live in the state that voted, they find people that voted 6 and 10, 12 times. All this is facts, and yet all you hear on the media is, there's just not an ounce of evidence. And so the checks and balances that we think that our elections, and they say, oh, we want you to have confidence in your elections. How do we know it's not going to happen? Every time it comes up, they're going to wait till these liberal cities are going to wait till everybody else votes. Then they're going to stack the deck just like they did in this one. All kinds of corruption. And not one of the checks and balances, our courts, our judges, our state Congress, not one of them stopped it from happening, which is a scary situation. Our courts. We found that judges that had just small jurisdictions was able to stop things that the president would issue. Then he had to go through all these court systems and all this to get something done. I think it's a crying shame when they can run to a liberal place out west and get some little judge somewhere to stop the act of a president. That judge has way too much power. Then we found that even in the Supreme We always hoped that the Supreme Court we could have confidence, hopefully, even though much of it was showed to be partisan. But even there, we found the chief judge overheard and taped and recorded as making statements that he would never allow to see Trump elected. And man, that tears you at the heart of trusting that if you go far enough in the court system, finally you'll find justice. We look at some that has been condemned, that has money and been riches and so forth, and yet we're still waiting for somebody to find them guilty when it was obvious they were guilty all along. The law enforcement, some checks and balances, the FBI. We found that the FBI, the upper echelon of the FBI, tried to overturn the election right off the bat. All up on the line, they knew it was a lie. That is scary, folks. That is stuff that Germany was made out of. When they come in and they can do whatever they want to do to you, it's scary. No person like us, what are we going to do? How are we going to get money to defend ourselves? We'd be at the mercy. Then we see the Justice Department. They just don't seem to be able to convict anybody. They'll pick some little small fry out here, but you take someone like Hillary Clinton, that's obvious that she broke the law, and nobody denies she broke the law, yet not one word, and the whole process was ignored and completely and it's not only Democrats, there's Republicans that go through that too. But it seems like they're the only ones at all that can get convicted anymore. Education system. We have turned our education system in, especially the higher branches of education, from a Christian education process to humanism. We have censored our colleges. No longer does conservatives have a voice. They've run out. Patriotism, Black Lives Matters. They should read the agenda. They went crazy over that stuff and they haven't even read the agenda and understand that they want to destroy the fabric of the foundation of the family. And to see what it was built upon. And to see all this kneeling on our national anthem. And yesterday, even the Kentucky Wildcats, the coach and all the players, it wasn't televised, but they went out there and they all kneeled. It makes me sick. I don't want to see anybody mistreated. But my friend, there's a lot of people who's died for that flag. And I don't want to see that flag misrepresented. But we see that. And we see patriotism going down the drain. We see people with in charge and people that's over this nation that has expressed hatred for patriots and people who love this country. The last administration for this one tried to destroy and defund the military to the point that it brought it down to its knees. I'm afraid we're going to probably see the same thing happen again. Especially now since they've got all three levels of conscious government, the branches of government, the presidency and Senate and the House. Now, our text is clear. A nation that forgets God shall be turned into hell. That means a nation that once knew God and forgets God will be turned into hell. Our nation has forgotten God. National judgment is imminent with God when we keep going the direction that this country is going. You see, God judges nations different than he judges individuals. With each one of us, we are appointed to two things, death and the judgment, according to Hebrews 9:27. And God can be long-suffering for us because we have a judgment day down there that we will have to stand before God, whether lost or saved. We'll have to answer for things done in this body, whether good or bad. But when God deals with a nation, he deals with a nation with their present sins. And somebody said, well, he hasn't judged a nation yet. Where have you been? Burning our cities. Tearing down the fabric of our nation. And by the way, The only hope for this nation is turn back to God. And let me say this. God is not impressed with religious liberties. Allah, Buddha, or none of the little gods will turn this nation back in favor with God. There's only one true living God, and unless this nation turns back to him, it'll never return and see the glories that it once saw. So therefore, we need to understand, wickedness in the nation will be judged. Look, if you would, keep your finger there a moment. Look, if you would, in Psalms 33. In Psalms 33, in verse number 12, the Bible says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord and the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. So therefore, if you want to be blessed, you recognize God for who he is. And when you can't even say the Pledge of Allegiance, I noticed that the chaplain of our Congress the other day got up and said, he said some prayer and read some prayer off, and he said, amen and a woman. That's blaspheming. I knew when they elected him and put him as chaplain, it told the spirituality of that group. He has no spirituality. But when they can't even stand and do pledges to the flag and without leaving out under God, as the Democrat platform did all during the process, where do you think they're going to take us? Remember the God in which we have forgotten? The Bible says that wicked nations are unhappy, Proverbs 14, 34. Righteousness exalteth a nation. Sins a reproach to any people. Look at Russia, look at China, look at Iran, places like that, and look upon the faces of the people and the oppression that they've gone through. Look down south, the friends of President Obama. What's his name down in Cuba? Castro. But what I want you to understand is this. We see people being affected by all these things. And the voters, beyond the corruption that was done, the illegitimate, the dead, all the others that voted. The election is over. I'd like to do something, but I don't know what you could do. I didn't get my way in it, but I want you to know something. I tried my best to vote responsible. I voted for some people, and I voted against some people. When I say I voted against some people, it means that I voted against people, and I didn't like the one I had to vote for. But I did vote, and I tried to vote responsible. I tried to understand what I needed to who I was voting for and what they stood for. I also tried to encourage other people to vote and to understand the issues and the dangers at hand. I prayed for this nation. I didn't get my way. And I'm afraid we're going to see an agenda that's going to be ramrodded down our throats. It's going to take this nation in uncharted territories and depths of sin that we haven't seen. We've already begun to see it. And I can't believe that we didn't have enough caring people in America to stop a minute and figure out what was going on and vote in this election. I don't know if you would ever overcome the amount of ballots that they would have supplied the way they did it. But I want you to keep your finger there a minute. I want you to look in Romans chapter 13 a moment. In Romans 13, Paul is writing about having to live and having to deal with government. And just to refresh your memory, out of all the emperors that Rome had, Nero, that was in office at the time Paul wrote this, was the worst. He executed his mother, executed his wife, executed tens of thousands of Christians. He was an evil man, a wicked man. But look what Paul wrote in chapter 13, verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are what? And whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to the good works, but to the evil. Now that's what leaders are supposed to be. They're supposed to be contrary to evil works. But now, when a nation forgets God, they begin to call good evil and evil good. And those who are trying to do good will be persecuted. Those who's trying to do evil gets rewarded. Look just a few moments and think about this. Esther said that she was raised up as a time for a time like as this. I'm not so sure that this administration was not raised up that's coming in for a time such as this. God is not going to allow us to continue to forget him and ignore him. And I'm afraid we've done it in many, many ways. So it's got to be a payday someday. But we still must go on. So tonight I want to share with this, what should we do? And by the way, you say, what's America's biggest problem? The Democrats in charge? No. America's biggest problem is too many of them have said, we will not have this man to reign over us. That's the problem. I even believe in this pandemic that God has weeded some churches out. I believe he has sifted and seen where people's faith is. See where people's trust is. As I expressed to you, I thank God for so many of you being so faithful to find support for the church during all this time. Some things to do. Well, number one, and it's not the most important, but every Christian ought to vote. And then the second thing is you ought to pray for men that you can vote for in confidence to run. But there are some other things. Look, if you would, in 1 Timothy chapter 2. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, notice what Paul says. What should we do? What can we do? Chapter 2, verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for who? For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a what? Quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of who? God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Some things we need to do. Number one, pray for the salvation of our leaders. They need to know the Lord. We need to pray for their salvation. Number two, we need to pray for our safety and the safety of this nation. Number three, that God would give wisdom to leadership. Number four, we need to pray for the freedoms to be able to continue to worship and to preach and to soul win. I'm afraid the time's coming where we're going to run into trouble when we take the gospel outside these doors. We see that in so many other nations that have followed the trend that we're headed toward. Not only that, but also we need to pray for support of Israel. Look back in your Bibles to Psalms chapter 9 and notice what David said. In Psalms chapter 9, in verse number 1 and 2, he said, I will praise thee. Who will praise thee? O Lord, with my whole heart, I will show forth. Notice in verse 2, I will be glad and rejoice. I will sing praises. That's why I was talking about, man, it makes the devil mad when you sing songs like you all just sung. I just want to thank the Lord. I'm going to tell you something that makes the devil mad. Regardless of what's going on in this nation, we continue to praise God. We continue to rejoice in the Lord. and lift him up. We praise him freely and fully with our heart, as Brother Eric said this morning, not with our lips, but with our heart. We need to do that. You say, what can we do for our nation? Praise the Lord. Praise him. Good times and bad, verses 3 through 5. You need to trust in the protection of God and know that God is our protection. If he wants to protect us, he'll protect us. If he wants to send us through persecution, he'll do that as well. And if we went through persecution, we wouldn't be the first to ever go through persecution. But I'll tell you what, persecution sure will thin out the church. But I'll tell you something else. You'll find genuine believers in the process too. Then you also find we need to keep lifting up Jesus. Look in verse 6 through 8. The Bible tells us, O thou image destruction are come to a perpetual end, and thou hast destroyed cities, their memorial is perished with thee, but the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for what? Folks, we have this. I don't know what the next few years will bring. I don't know where we will be. I don't know what we will be. But I know this. God is prepared to judge, and he will judge. People will receive a righteous judgment from the Lord. Not only that, but look in verse 9. We have a refuge. The Lord is our refuge. You say, what do we do? You hide in the Lord. You take refuge and safety in him. I don't know where this country may go. I don't know what agenda may be passed. I don't know what foundations may be torn down. It tears my heart out when I've seen all these statues of our founding fathers tore down. Then everywhere you see Black Lives Matter is exalted and this exalted and that exalted. Then in verse 10 and 11, he says, and they that know thy name will put their what? Folks, God is still reliable. He's still on the throne. He knows exactly what's going on. We now have the president that he allowed to come to office for whatever reasons. And we may see evil men wax worse and worse. We may see nation go against nation. We may see our own nation sold out. It may be dangerous times, but we've got to take our troubles to the Lord. We've got to remember in verse number 9, it reminds us that they're men, and God would deal with them. And we need not forget that he'll take care of those things, and we take our troubles to the Lord. Now let me close with this thought. America's destiny will be determined by a few things. One, it's remembrance of God. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear them from heaven. I will forgive their iniquity and I will heal their land. I still believe that if God's people gets desperate enough that they fall on their faces before God, that he'll hear. But my friend, he's not going to do it unless we fulfill the precept that he has commanded us to do. It is a conditional promise. We have to do our part if he's going to do his part. The second thing is this, Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. We have to rebuke sin. Sin is what damns souls. Somebody said, well, preacher, people just don't like you preaching on sin. You still got to rebuke it. Yep. It still damns souls. No, that it hardens consciences. Somebody said, how can people just kill and run over and maim and hurt and do the things that they've been doing? Their conscience is seared because of sin.
Not only that, it destroys homes. It devours nations. The third thing is, gain a respect once again for the things of God, His Word, the church, His people, preaching, praying. We get where we just come together. But I'm afraid these next few years, if the Lord allows us to see it, I'm afraid it's going to humble us. Last but not least, we need to pray. Genesis 12:3 for Israel. The last administration before President Trump hated Israel. And of course, Vice President Biden was part of that administration. I'm afraid they're going to come with vengeance against Israel again. But God tells us plainly in chapter 12, verse 3, that we will be blessed if we bless Israel, we'll be cursed if we curse Israel. But you know something, folks? I believe it's Brother Eric talking about this morning. We don't have to fret. We don't have to fear. We don't have to be anxious. We just need to trust in the Lord. And whatever, and we need to understand, for whatever reason that God's doing it, He's allowed these things to happen. But there are some things that we need to really sincerely pray for. Not only should we study the Bible, we need to sincerely pray for some things. And pray that God, as we pray, hope and pray that God will hear our prayers and He will heal our land. And if not, and He's got other reasons He's preparing this thing, when the trumpet sounds, I'm ready to go. I don't fear me. I fear those that's left behind. Let's pray and then we'll sing a song. Heavenly Father, we thank You that we have a refuge that the world does not know. We don't have to fear what men may do. Lord, we only need to fear You who can destroy both body and soul in hell. We're so thankful to Heavenly Father that we've got one that can turn the hearts of kings like You turn rivers. We're glad to Heavenly Father that nothing can be done without Your permissive will. And Heavenly Father, we thank You for the privilege of prayer. We do ask You to forgive us where we fail to pray. God, help us that we would gather our hearts together and we would call upon You. Lord, as we go into this new year, but Heavenly Father, we need to recognize that the same God that was there in the past is still here today. You change not. And we're so thankful, dear Heavenly Father, that even though all the checks and balances of our government has been shown to be shaken, we have one that we can trust in that has not been shaken at all. And Lord, it's so good to have You that we can trust in. And God, help us that we would draw nigh unto You, knowing that You would draw nigh unto us. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Brother Eric.